Congratulations to the Denver Broncos, the Super Bowl 50 world champions.
And then depression set in.
Coast to coast and border to border.
And now we do it, baby.
It's Tailgate Radio. Here's your host, the Grand Sergeant, Johnny Legend.
Up in the parking lot, got the bit long lights, and the grill is hot. On your boy, get set, baby, ready or not, we're gonna get some. Cause everybody wants some.
Hey there, Tailgate Nation, the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Thank you so much for downloading this post-Super Bowl episode number 72. Congratulations to the Denver Broncos. Von Miller's the MVP. Cam Newton is the sore loser. And that's about all we're going to talk about Super Bowl, because I know a lot of you folks are now going into depression. Depression that football season is over. Depression that there's no more game day on Sunday, that you can't pull out your... In fact, I hear a collective universe out there cleaning up their grills, cleaning up their tables, putting everything away in its place in the garage or in the storage unit. And it's a sad time. But I'm going to cheer you up today, because I'm going to have a guest on the show who is living the life on the beaches of Hawaii. He's got his own show. His name is Chef Rock, and he is going to talk to us about living the good life on the island of Hawaii and all the things that implies. We've got a great show for you. Chef Rock's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes. And again, for those of you that are going through depression, take some deep breaths. Get ready for NASCAR, get ready for baseball, get ready for soccer, get ready for spring festivals. I know a lot of you are still under the snow, but that's going to be changing too. Turn that frown upside down. You've got some things happening that are going to make your life a whole lot better, even if football's not around for a little while. And if you want to watch football, you can always go to the NFL Network. You can always go to ESPN Classics. Hell, you can go to arena football. Yeah, it's not really football, but it kind of is. It's a cross between football, hockey, WWE, basketball. It's fast. They use a football. Some of those guys used to play in the NFL. There's kickers. There's quarterbacks, there's running backs. That's football. That is football. That's your fix right there. The Arena Football League, or something there about, you know, Arena Football League 2, or in some markets. But anyway, don't be depressed. We're going to ship you guys all off collectively, virtually, through our tailgate party out to Hawaii to visit with Chef Rock. He's going to be coming up next right here on this week's episode of Tailgate Radio.
You're listening to Tailgate Radio.
Amazing, ain't it?
Some of us have come to call it the Freak Show.
You ever wanted to be a grill master? Hi, everybody. This is the Grill Sergeant John Largent with Tailgate Training Camp. And if you've ever wanted to have that experience that you need to become the master of your grill, you need to be watching the Outdoor Cooking Channel. The Outdoor Cooking Channel features some of the best barbecue pit masters in the country today, with great how-to tips, demonstrations, and full episodes where they're cooking some of their favorite dishes. So head over to the Outdoor Cooking Channel. Right now, you can find it at outdoorcookingchannel.com. or on Roku at the Outdoor Cooking Channel. Do it today. Tell them the Grill Sergeant sent you. TheOutdoorCookingChannel.com. All right, welcome back, Tailgate Nation. I want to bring in at this time a culinary legend in my mind. He is one of the pioneers of the food television connection. And I think he's the only guest on the show we've ever had that has his own theme song. Let's welcome into Tailgate Radio, Chef Rock.
Hey, John, how are you? Chef Rock here, calling all the way from sunny San Diego at the moment.
Yeah, but you don't stay in San Diego. Most people would love to be home-based in San Diego, and you are at sometimes. But where is the other place that you spend most of your time, sir?
Oh, I'm quite fortunate to say that I spend half of my time in Hawaii on the island of Oahu. Currently, I'll be living down by Waikiki, Honolulu area. That's where I shoot my show, the Chef Rock Culinary Underground.
Well, let's talk about the Chef Rock Culinary Underground. I've known you for a long time. You have been on America's television for over 30 years, and now you're out on the beaches of Hawaii hosting your own cooking. I'm not going to say it's a cook. You tell me what kind of show you've got going on out there.
You know, it's funny, when I went over to Hawaii initially about 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to run a restaurant on the North Shore, and I got a real strong taste of the culture. You know, everyone thinks Hawaii, you go on over, it's just beaches and fun and everything, blah, blah, blah. No, there's a strong culture there, not just the Hawaiian people. There's a strong Japanese influence in a lot of the business, so you have to learn how to deal with a different business structure. They like to be friends first before they do business, and that's easy for me. So I enjoyed learning about that, and they're also into, obviously, sustainability. So, I was starting to get into that. You know, over here, you know, you're running short of food. What do? You call Sysco's or one of the big food companies. Big truck pulls up. Boom, you get it. Well, I'm in Hawaii. I got guys calling me at the restaurant going, hey, I'm out on the boat. I just caught a 150-pound ahi. Do you want it? yeah. Next thing I know, there's a pickup truck at the back of the restaurant, and I'm pulling in 150-pound, 5'10" ahi tuna that was just swimming like 2 hours earlier. Same with crab. It's incredible. I have the farmers coming down. Guy would come up with a whole pickup truck full of avocados or mangoes or papayas.
How are you able, I know, for those of you that don't know, tell us about your background, and then I want to follow up with how that culture affects your ability to pivot when it comes to cooking. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got in the world of the culinary arts.
Culinary ops, my old boy. You know, it's funny. I started when I was a little kid, basically loving food besides eating a lot. I studied under my grandmother's apron and learned how to make bread, stuff sausage, make wine. So I got this real strong feeling of if it's not homemade, it's not good food, you know? So with that being said, I decided after high school to go to Johnson & Wales University School of Culinary Arts. At the time, there was only one Johnson & Wales. Now there's five or six around the country, but it was in Providence, Rhode Island. I did, you know, I tell her, I went to school with Emerald. You know, we were old buddies back then before he was a big-time guy. And it was an education of a lifetime. I moved out to California after college. I worked in restaurants. I worked on boats. I had an opportunity to go and work over on another boat. It was a private 90-foot yacht in Monte Carlo. So I cooked for princes and ambassadors. So I kind of furthered my love of French cuisine because I was right there and went to school in Paris in the off-season. So I actually have a degree from Paris at La Varenne, a cool school that was taught in native French with people that would translate for us. So I learned from some of the most incredible chefs of Europe at the time, worked over there, and then went to Australia.
That makes perfect sense.
Well, plus I heard there was a lot of hot babes down there.
Now we're getting down to it.
I was 20 years old. I had a lot of wild oats to sow there. But I wanted to see what it was like, and I did. I lived down in Australia in Brisbane and worked in a hotel over there. And they have a certain way. Here's one quick story I'll tell you about Australia. Australia has the most incredible fish, meat, everything, you know, fruit, the whole shoot match, right? It's right, like, plucked right out of the water right there, just like in Hawaii. And I worked in this this really nice hotel owned by a guy who was the owner of the local national football team, you know. And so it was like lobster tanks in the dining room, beautiful filet mignon stuffed with fresh oysters, and then orders would come in, and I'd be firing the orders, and I remember my first day, and I had French fries, like filet mignon and lobster. I go, oh, there's got to be a mistake. We don't serve French fries here. The guy goes, yes, we do, Mike. You know, I go, what do you mean? Is that for lunch? No. They like French fries. They put ketchup on it. And I go, you got to be kidding me. I refuse. Like, oh, so, you know, big shot guy, right? You know, I refuse to serve French fries on a filet mignon stuffed with oysters with a béarnaise sauce. And they laugh. They go, you're in Australia, mate. That's all we eat is French fries. So I got kind of an eye-opener there. So I ended up only staying a year. And when I came back, I started the business with the Clever Cleaver Brothers, with Lee Garavitz, an old college buddy of mine. And we started that business. And we did TV and radio for 28 years.
Yeah, so let's stop right there. How do you transition from being a what I would just call a straight-up chef into being really one of the pioneers, in my mind, of that genre of a television personality chef? Because I found that fascinating. How does that transition take place from going from that chef to that television personality?
You know, back in those days, you made me sound like an old fart there for a minute, but I am, actually. But no, so you know, you're right. There was definitely a transition there, going from classical French cuisine, cooking for princes and ambassadors in Europe, and then coming back and being stand-up chefs cooking with comedy. that was our running line, you know, the Clever Cleaver Brothers. We never wore chef outfits. We always wore costumes. We kind of fell into that. We produced the first video cookbook before even Julia Childs did hers. And it was in VHS and beta. You had a choice what type of tape you wanted, what machine. And it was that old. And you know,
those are videotapes for you youngsters out there, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's not a DVD. We didn't even know what that was. And what was cool about it was that even though we were the first ones out there, which is kind of always the toughest because we had to up those doors, you know, we were regulars on Regis and Kathy Lee for 3 years, you know, getting national exposure. As I always say, you name the show that was on TV back then, and we were on it. You know, even up to the modern days when, you know, we were on The View. We were on Rosie's last show. Now she's back on the show. We were on there cooking with Rosie and Padma, you know? And, you know, it was just a fun time for us because it was all new. And we traveled. We did 125 live shows a year for 28 years, my friend.
Wow.
Long time. So we kind of opened up a lot of doors for the guys that are doing it now. So I always remember when the Food Network started, we were the first chefs on there. Too many people know that. We were on a show with Robin Leach. You all know Robin Leach, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and
Famous. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
I don't know why. the guy who owned it was Reese Schoenfeld. He started with Ted Turner, with TBS and CNN and all those things. He spun it off. And remember when MTV came on and everyone said, who the heck is going to listen to music 24 hours, 7 days a week? Were they crazy? They said the same thing with ESPN. They said it with everyone else. And then when the Food Network came out, who the heck is going to watch food 24 hours a day? So we just kind of thought that, too. Who's going to watch? So we were offered a show called How to Boil Water. And Reese said, you know, I can't pay you guys. And we're in California. The show's in New York. We said, we just moved from Connecticut. What the heck do we want to go back for, you know? So we said, no. I think that was probably the defining moment in my career where, you know, you always look back and go, ah, jeez, I should have said yes, you know? Because you know who took the show after? We said, no, Emerald.
I did not know that story. That is really fascinating. I didn't realize you guys were the first folks on the Food Network.
Yeah. We were right there. It was pretty cool. You know, we were in a lot of shows that were right at their beginnings and some of their endings. You know, what was cool was my cousin, Eric Mangini, who is now the tight end coach for the 49ers. A lot of people don't realize he's back coaching again. He was an analyst on ESPN lately. He was the head coach for the Jets, head coach for the Browns, and defensive coordinator for a lot of his career with the Patriots, and got three Super Bowl rings. When he started with the Browns, he was basically picking up jockstraps. We had this idea, Lee and myself, that we should do tailgate segments. Yeah, let's do tailgate segments. So I contacted Eric, and at that time, they were just moving to Baltimore. Yeah, remember when Modell moved the team? They all literally left in the middle of the night. And when they got to Baltimore, we ended up talking the team into letting us do tailgate segments, first time ever. And I said, we need a wild and crazy guy. And they ended up getting Tony Siragusa. So for 3 years, we did Gourmet with the Goose. And it ran in their pregame show. So that kind of opened up the door for us with tailgating. And we said, wow, you know, because we were kind of the king of vignettes. We used to produce these two-minute cooking segments. And you were saying, yeah, you know, we got broad appeal. Well, we did, actually, bigger than a lot of people even know. We ended up syndicating those programs into 50 countries and in 5 languages. Yeah, we were even on Good Morning Ukraino in the Ukraine, in Kiev. It was like a Good Morning, a national show, and Good Morning America. They had us basically dubbed, and we ran all through Japan, Hong Kong, Singapore, yeah, all these countries, the Middle East. So at the time, we were always thinking of like Osama, you know, not Osama, it was way before him, but like Saddam sitting in the tent in the Middle East someplace with the TV watching the Clever Cleaver Brothers. We always thought that would be pretty funny. But it was an amazing time, you know. We basically broke a lot of ground. So we got into the tailgating. We got in. We ended up doing with the Eagles, the Browns, the, you know. The problem was, John, we ended up opening up the door too wide. And there's a small window when you could use players. And we just ran out of time. So the following year, we decided, hey, let's just produce generic tailgate segments and sell them to stations. We ended up being in 25 cities for 20 weeks out of the football season for 10 years.
From your perspective, did you find it a difficult transition to go from that classically trained to kind of cooking and showing recipes for the masses on your weekly segments that you did?
Yes, that's actually a very good question, you know, and I'm going to answer that quite simply. There was a line in the sand. You know, it was like, okay, this recipe's got 10 ingredients. I know no one's going to cut stuff at the tailgate party. Okay, we got to take a classic recipe and simplify it for everyday people. So what we did was we took a lot of great recipes and we fine-tuned it with some quick marinades, some dry rubs, a way to use cooked products instead of raw. So it took away steps that you had to do at the event, you know. And I've been to a lot like you have, and I've done a lot of tailgate parties. In fact, I just completed 7 months on the road for Dietzen Watson Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses out of Philly. And we were on the road with, I had a food truck and a whole crew. We did about almost 200 events. I did some tailgating events. We did one for the Eagles. We did a, for 400 people, I did a Rutgers Penn State game, which I had never done a tailgate event at a college football game. And I forgot how those kids can drink. And it was unbelievably insane. And then we did a Hurricanes game. So I was watching, and I walked around when I had a chance, and I was looking and seeing what everyone was doing. And people are staying away really from the gourmet, and they are going towards more of maybe something that is a marinated piece of grilled meat or fish or poultry. And I think people are looking for shortcuts so they can enjoy the event more. So what we ended up doing was kind of started creating these recipes. So to answer your question, going from gourmet to here, I said, well, you know, let's go with some simple foods and cut some really big steps out. And like with Dietzen Watson, which is an incredible company, if you don't know much about them, they're pretty much in all the deli areas now. But they also do a whole line of sausages. They do raw products. But their primary mission is to get everyone to try their deli meats. Whole muscle meat, no filler, no byproducts. The only preservative they have is the cooking process, which is incredible. And they're lower in fat than all the other guys, no trans fats, no hormones. They really have done a great job. They're 75 years in business, 75 years old, and still doing it the old-fashioned way, John. It's incredible. So what we did was they have this, the best roast beef I ever had in the world. They're London broil roast beef. Had them slice it thin, and then basically just chopped it again and put it in a saute pan, a little bit of oil, and then I made a quick little sprinkle of equal parts chili powder, garlic powder, sea salt, and black pepper. And then I put it on corn tortilla with a little shredded lettuce, some fresh pico de gallo.
Oh, my gosh.
So the sauce was made with a chipotle mustard that they make with a Greek yogurt. You put that over on top, or one of their creamy horseradishes. And unbelievable. People are like gobbling them up. They go, we've never had tacos. These are my street tacos. Quick to make it a barbecue. Fajitas made out of their buffalo wing chicken sausage. See, everything's seasoned. It's all ready to go. Same thing. Put a sprinkle on, throw it in a tortilla. You know, saute dishes with their Asiago sausage, you know. It's incredible what you can do with the cooked product. And what I was, you know, learning is a lot of people don't have time, which we all know that, especially at a tailgate party.
Yeah.
Show up. You know, if it's you or me, maybe we might throw the raw brats on the grill and take our time and grill them the proper way, put them in the Wisconsin hot tub, you know.
Yep.
A little cone of beer, some garlic, onion.
There you go.
And, you know, and enjoy.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most people don't want to spend that much time doing it.
Tell us about the Chef Rock experience, because you're doing a live taped show, if I understand that correctly.
Yes.
On the beaches of Hawaii. Tell us about what you're doing and that process. You know, fast forward from your years on the road with the Clever Cleaver Brothers, you've now got this show in Hawaii. I'd love to hear more about that.
John, it started as almost by accident. You know, for years we were syndicating our programming. I probably contacted every general manager in the universe. And I was in Hawaii, and I got some local press on the restaurant because I was the only guy up there, and you'll love this, smoking ribs, brisket, and chicken. At the restaurant. So I created this glaze for it. We call it the Chef Rock Glaze, the Hawaiian Glaze. Soon to be out in stores, I hope. And it opened up the doors. Why are people coming from Australia asking for the ribs? You got those ribs? We had a bag of ribs, you know? And then they were just, you know, dry rub. I would smoke over a little bit of pecan and kiabe wood, which is pretty much like a mesquite. But it's a local wood, and I would smoke for 3 hours the ribs, you know, 12 hours for the brisket and chicken. I'd do fish. Primarily the ribs and the brisket were the big mainstay. And it opened up my eyes, and next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the GM of the local station there. It's not the local station. I mean, it airs all over Hawaii. So I end up going and catch the meeting, and we talk about a concept I've had for a show. Kind of a dinner theater type show, and he said, let's do it. I'm in my third season. It's a kind of like a nightclub show, so I have a full audience. I also have two bartenders, a guest chef, a local chef, and a band. And the band is Johnny Valentine. It's Bruno Mars's uncle. So if you go to my website, you go on the front, you'll see Johnny. Johnny, he is like, you know, the most incredible guy you ever want to meet. He basically brought up Bruno. Bruno played in his band when he was like 4 years old. He did Elvis. He wore the little Elvis outfit. You know, if you look at what Bruno's going to look like when he gets older, you have to just look over at Johnny Valentine. Because they're like genetic twins right there, you know. It was his sister's kid. And he helped bring him up and keeps in contact with him. So the show has a life of its own. You know, we got audiences, we're cooking. So when I make my dish, I got my crew in the back making the same dish. Everyone gets a plate of food. So it's an eating and drinking fest. Same with the bartenders. They make cocktails, everybody gets a cocktail. So it's fun. You know, everyone loves Liquid Aloha, you know, Kona Beer. Great company, local company. And they're one of my sponsors. And also, Aloha Show You. Let me tell you about these guys. You know, remember I was talking earlier on the show how, you know, you have to get a rapport going with the companies that you end up working with. This is a company, it's five Japanese families got together in 1946. I can only imagine how hard that must have been to start a company in Hawaii, a Japanese company, right after World War II. An incredible story. because they're a national brand, and their old Japanese recipes are one of my sponsors. Unbelievable stuff. They've been in Hawaii, like, you know, how the other brand, Kikkoman's, over, you know, on every table. Well, Aloha's on every table over here in Hawaii, and then they're making headway over here on the mainland, as they call it. The mainland, all of the U.S. So they're an incredible company. So I get to use a lot of really cool local products. And I also got farmers coming down from the hills, and they're bringing down stuff I'd never even heard of. And some kind of plants and stuff. They said, try this. You know, this got more protein than a steak. You know, and then I'm cooking with it. Next thing I know, you know, so it's very big on the organic farming and all that. So the show's in its third season. Where I'm going back again in December to shoot more shows. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the show just got picked up on a network called AMGTV. It'll be on Roku and a lot of stations around the country. So if anyone was interested, you want to watch the show, you can just go to my website, Chef Rock. I still rock with it without the K, because I just couldn't afford it.
Time is right to use a spud spot. Oil and spice, make it fast and nice. Crispy on the outside, fluffy in the middle. Don't you just love the spud spice?
Spud spice, the original food-grade stainless steel 6-inch baking potato perfection system. It's made right here in the USA. The spud spice, along with our gourmet potato skin rubs and everyday seasonings, are perfect for baking, barbecuing, cookouts, grilling, steaming. They're good for indoor and outdoor kitchens, campers, RVs, tailgating, barbecue lovers, brats, sausages, and perfect holiday gifts for that special loved one. Just a nail? I don't think so. The Spud Spikes Baked Potato Perfection System. Buy it online now at spudspikes.com. That's spudspikes.com.
It's right to use a Spud Spike. Your oil and spice, and make it fast and nice. It's crispy on the outside.
All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's stress-free post-Super Bowl show. I want to thank my good friend out on the islands, Chef Rock. You can catch him at Chef Rock, that's ROC.com, and see what he's doing and maybe catch his television show. Or heck, if you're even out on the islands, go visit him and be in the audience for one of his live television tapings. He's a great chef, a great dude. And somebody that just, you know, he deserves all the great stuff that's happening to him. And I really appreciate him coming back on the show. Speaking of shows, next week, episode 73, we're going to have our good friend Dawn Murphy with a NASCAR preview. She's going to talk to us about her show, Track Smack with Dawn Murphy, and how you can catch all the great guests and interviews. She knows everybody in NASCAR. It's amazing who she gets on her show, all the top drivers, all the top crew chiefs and guys that work in the pits and people that run the tracks and just everything regarding NASCAR. So don't forget next week's big show with Dawn Murphy, the host of Track Smack with Dawn Murphy. Speaking of which, you can catch her show all the same places you can catch Tailgate Radio: TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, SoundCloud, Audio Boom. Where else am I missing? On our website, of course, at Tailgate Radio. And we appreciate everybody checking in with just a few minutes of drive time every week on our little show here, our virtual tailgate party called Tailgate Radio. I can tell you the month of February, we're going to be tuning some things up. No pun intended with the Track Smack folks there. We're going to be making some adjustments, and we'll still be around. But in March, we come full force. And we'll be doing that with all new guests and everything. The month of February is our month to take umbrage of where we're at, what we need to do, what changes we need to make. And we listen to you, and we really do appreciate your feedback. We also appreciate those 5-star reviews over at iTunes. Those mean a lot to us. And means a lot to our sponsors. And speaking of our sponsors, go over to our website and click on any one of our sponsor links and buy their products or take a look. You know, it doesn't cost you a thing to look. And we appreciate that as well, and I know they do too. So for everybody here at Tailgate Radio and Game Day Media, we, as we always say, we've been saying this for years. I mean, we've been saying this for years, and we mean it, especially now that you're, if you're a football junkie and your football season's over, just listen to me. Just listen. Keep the drinks cold. Keep the grill hot. And we will, oh yes, we will, see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye. Oh, no.